Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord God, we bring before you the cries of a sorrowing world. In your mercy, set us free from the chains that bind us, and defend us from everything that is evil. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Please be seated. Ian, would you slip down here and then turn around, kids? Mr. Tyler, who is our intern, is going to have a children's sermon, so give him your attention.
Sweet.
Here's a spot. Yes, it is.
Awesome.
Here's a spot for you, Tyler.
Oh, right here.
Right there. And the children, turn around and listen to Tyler.
Thank you very much. Good. So, have you guys ever been to a library?
Yeah.
Yes. Do you have a library card?
Yes, I do.
I have one right here. This is my library card. So there's some cool things about a library card. One of them is that it doesn't matter if you're old or if you're young, or if you have brown hair or blonde hair, or if you're rich or poor, it doesn't matter where you come from, what ethnicity you are, you can get a library card.
Free?
For free. The second thing that's cool about a library card is that when you have a library card, you can rent out books, you can rent out movies and CDs. Do you guys know what a CD is?
Yeah.
I love CDs. You can rent out a CD, and you can use all the resources from the library. There are at some libraries, yeah. And you can use them. I don't know. But maybe. So, you can rent out stuff at the library, and this is a good picture of what being a member of God's family is like. The Bible tells us that we are united in Christ through baptism. And when we have that, again, it doesn't matter where you're from, what color your hair is, what color your skin is, if you're rich or poor, anyone can be a member of God's family. And when you're a member of God's family, all the blessings that are in the Bible, all the blessings of God, are a gift to you. And the best part about this is that that's free. It's a gift. So I'm going to send you guys off with that knowledge to Sunday school. And so if you guys, would you want to carry the Bible? Awesome. So if you guys want to carry off the Bible and head off to Sunday school, and keep that in mind. So.
A reading from Isaiah. I was ready to be sought out by those who did not ask, to be found by those who did not seek me. I said, here I am, here I am, to a nation that did not call on my name. I held out my hands all day long to a rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good, following their own devices, a people who provoke me to my face continually, sacrificing in gardens and offering incense on bricks, who sit inside tombs and spend the night in secret places, who eat swine's flesh with broth of abominable things in their vessels, who say, keep to yourself, do not come near me, for I am too holy for you. These are a smoke in my nostrils, a fire that burns all day long. See, it is written before me, I will not keep silent, but I will repay. I will indeed repay into their laps, their iniquities and their ancestors' iniquities together, says the Lord, because they offered incense on the mountains and reviled me on the hills. I will measure into their laps full payment for their actions. Thus says the Lord, as the wine is found in the cluster, and they say, do not destroy it, for there is a blessing in it, so I will do for my servant's sake, and not destroy them all. I will bring forth descendants from Jacob, and from Judah, inheritors of my mountains. My chosen shall inherit it, and my servants shall settle there. Word of God, word of life. Let us pray Psalm 22 responsively. But you, O Lord, be not far away. O my help, hasten to my aid.
Deliver me from the sword, my life from the power of the dog.
Save me from the lion's mouth. From the horns of wild bulls you have rescued me.
I will declare your name.
You who fear the Lord, give praise. All you of Jacob's line, give glory. Stand in awe of the Lord, all you offspring of Israel.
From
you comes my praise in the great assembly. I will perform my vows in the sight of those who fear the Lord. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. All the families of nations shall bow before God.
For dominion belongs to the Lord, who rules over the nations.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from Galatians. Now, before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. Therefore, the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to a disciplinarian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke. Then Jesus and his disciples arrived in the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. As he stepped out on land, a man of the city who had demons met him. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he did not live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many times it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles. But he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the wilds. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. They begged him not to order them to go back into the abyss. Now there on the hillside was a large herd of swine feeding, and the demons begged Jesus to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. When the swineherd saw what had happened, they ran off and told it in the city and in the country. Then people came out to see what had happened. And when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by demons had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might stay with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Our gospel today tells a profound story of the power of God and the amazing transformation that can result from the encounter with that power. Over the years, I've heard many stories like this one. There are many people who have struggled with their own personal demons and then found freedom in the power of the good news of Jesus Christ. Demons come in all kinds of shapes and sizes. I want to tell you two stories of struggle and victory. By the time Sharon was in her early teens, she had met her own demon. Maybe it was lack of self-esteem, maybe it was peer pressure, maybe it was the hype from the fashion industry that young girls have to be very skinny. However the demon disguised himself, whatever faces it had, it was finally named and diagnosed as bulimia and anorexia. When I met Sharon the summer before her senior year in high school, I'm not sure she was really a senior. She had spent more time in the hospital than she had in school. She was always wearing really baggy sweatsuit. She thought anything else made her look fat. 5'7", 81 pounds. No fat, no muscle, just a very sick body. The voices of her demons told her not to eat, told her to keep secrets from her family, secrets like diet pills, laxatives, making herself sick after every meal. The family started counseling and started going to church, and the Christian community surrounded them with support and encouragement, and Sharon continued to get sicker and sicker. This story doesn't have a happy ending for Sharon. Not a happy ending that you would hope for. The transformation and the renewal didn't happen in Sharon's body. She died on a winter day in the hospital while her parents, her younger sister, and I were standing near her bed praying with her for her. The transformation and the renewal in this story happened in her family, as they organized support groups for other families affected by eating disorders. Sharon's younger sister gave talks at the junior high and at high schools, talked with other girls about how God had transformed their family, how God had brought their family together. Of course, they wanted to see Sharon live, to see her freed from that demon's bond. But God was able to transform their grief into a power that would help others who were also held in bondage. They told the story of Sharon's demon and the story of how much God had done for them. I think they're probably continuing to tell this story. That's probably 30 years ago that I met Sharon. Okay, a second story. He started drinking when he was in junior high. No big deal. Everybody was drinking. But for him, it was a big deal. We call it demon rum with good reason. Alcohol had taken hold of his spirit and his body, and addiction was controlling his life by the time he was in his mid-20s. I know this story real well. It's a good one for Father's Day. This is my dad's story. My dad drank his way into and out of a lot of jobs and relationships in his adult life. Alcohol is a terrible demon. It takes hold of a person and it invites a legion of other demons to come along for the ride. Demons of lying and cheating, stealing, infidelity, broken promises, and on. The demons of an addicted person are legion. When I was about 10 years old, my dad was working in sales and was away from home traveling all during the week. Early one September morning, I remember it was September, it happened to be my mom's birthday, the phone rang, and my mother was told that my dad had been involved in a serious car accident. Both my dad and his passenger were in intensive care in a hospital about 400 miles away. We all know that drinking and driving don't mix. My dad rear-ended a tanker truck. His personal demons only got worse after that as the pain, he was in the hospital and he came home at Christmas. So he was in the hospital quite a while. And the pain of the accident and the drinking and the pain pills and all only got worse after that. My parents separated, finally divorced. And by the time my dad was 40, he was living in a rented trailer, working odd jobs just to keep him in beer and cigarettes. Dad got married to a woman that he met during one of his sober months at an AA meeting, and she had her own legion of demons. His transformation and renewal began when he was about 50 years old. He woke up in the hospital one day, not sure how he landed there, and all of his familiar demons were waging war in his head. In a moment of desperation, he prayed. He told me later that he knew that he had lost one family. He was on the brink of losing another, and he didn't think God was going to give him a third family. He asked God to change his life. He knew he couldn't do it on his own. As he told me more than once, you can't pickle your brain for 35 years and expect it to work right. My dad had 9 years of sobriety before he died, and he never stopped telling the story of what God had done for him. He started an AA group at the prison where he had once worked as a guard. He spent several mornings every week in the county jail talking to the guys who had been brought in drunk the night before. He'd been on the other side of those bars too. He went to church with his wife, and they became active members. His demons were at last banished when he let go and let God. He had tried for 35 years to do it by himself, and when he finally, at the very bottom, let go and prayed that God would do it, God did it. What demons do you know? What stories could you tell about the demons that hold you or hold the ones that you love bound and keep you from health and wholeness? If statistics can be trusted, it's safe to assume that I'm not the only one in this room who lived in an alcoholic or otherwise dysfunctional home or is currently living in such a situation. I know that some of my father's demons have twin brothers who live in me. Fear, worries, self-doubts. Maybe that's part of the human condition. Many people are bound. Some are bound and don't even realize it. Anxiety, fear, unforgiveness, bitterness, anger, disappointments, grudges, memories of the past that haunt us. All these things are demons and can affect the quality of our life and our outlook. The good news that we hear today is that God wants to set us free. God wants to unbind us. God wants us to be transformed and renewed. God wants to expel those demons that hold us bound. The demons of addiction and mental illness, the demons of fear and physical disease. God wants to heal us of all of our demons, of our emotional, physical, and spiritual disasters. The good news that we hear today is that God wants our wholeness and our healing and will go out of his way to bring that gift to us. Human parents love their children no matter what. Sometimes they make it hard for us, but we still love them. And when children are ill, with physical disease, with emotional disturbances or mental illness, we want our children to be healed. We are made in God's image. God wants the same for his children. God wants us to be healed from our diseases, no matter how serious or simple they may be. God wants our wholeness. Sometimes, and it's far too often, there are great evils that are almost beyond human comprehension. Terrorism and hate crimes, threatening cancers, permanent disabilities, dark depressions, suicidal thoughts. In those times, when confronted by those demons, we may be tempted to give up. But the good news is that God does not give up. Into a situation that is overwhelmingly evil, where a person is bound by legions of demons, Jesus goes there to bring healing and peace. No situation is so bad that Jesus will not bring his healing power. This is what the story in Luke's gospel tells us. Jesus went into the worst possible situation and brought healing. Jesus didn't give up then. Jesus doesn't give up now either. He doesn't give up at our moments of profound doubt, grief, loss, or defeat. And he doesn't give up, and maybe this is the thing that's most surprising to us, he doesn't give up on those who seem to have no relationship or care about God. Did you notice in this story, in the encounter in the Gerasenes, that Jesus leaves immediately, gets back in the boat, and sails away? Which may mean that the whole trip across that stormy sea, the near riot with the local folks who were distraught at the loss of their livestock and frightened by the power of this Jewish rabbi, all of that was in order to meet this unclean man possessed by an unclean spirit living in an unclean and forsaken environment in the tombs outside the city. This all points to the truth that there is absolutely nowhere God is not willing to go to reach out, to set free, to hold, and to heal those who are broken and despairing, those who are being held down by legions of demons. There is no place on earth that is God-forsaken. And more important than that, there is no person that is God-forsaken. Unclean, outcast, abandoned, imprisoned, unbeliever, no one is left out. The man in the Gerasenes who was once held bound by legion wants to follow Jesus. But Jesus sends him back home with this imperative: go and tell what God has done for you. Let me say it like this. There are no conditions to be met to receiving God's love. Like Tyler said with the library card, you don't have to be wealthy or poor. You don't have to be from a particular ethnic group or another. You don't have to have been raised in a church or be a new convert to Christianity or to have any faith at all. Jesus seeks out everyone, even this unclean man living in an unclean place, possessed by unclean spirits. And just so does God love all, male and female, young and old, gay and straight, this race and that, believers and non-believers, Christians, Jews, Muslims, Buddhists, atheists, agnostic, add whatever distinction you might come up with to make this list longer. The truth is, God is looking for us all. In the wake of last Sunday's violent crime of hate and terror, we need to be reminded that God is always with those who are in greatest pain and need. And we need to be reminded that we are sent to go and be there too, to do likewise. It's not easy work, but we don't do it under our own strength, but we let go and let God. I'll end with this prayer in our hymnal. It's in the morning prayer section in our hymnal. Let us pray. O God, you have called your servants to ventures of which we cannot see the ending, by paths as yet untrodden, through perils unknown. Give us faith to go out with good courage, not knowing where we go, but only that your hand is leading us and your love supporting us, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.